Chapter 2. Frankie drove and Ron sat shotgun with Tiffany in the back seat. It was a quiet ride. Ron stared out at the passing scenes. The one-time farmland had been sold off and developed. The new homes lacked uniqueness and were set in even geometric parcels. These lots were approximately an acre in squared dimension. They drove down the winding hill. The town had the highest elevation in the county, and the high school had been built on top of the highest hill in the township. They drove down to the man-made lake that gave the town an amount of notoriety in days gone. Yes, Jackie Gleason had a house on the lake, and the town was famous for speakeasies, but that was all gone. The summer homes had been converted into cheap, year-round, poorly insulated dwellings that attracted people of little means who could have their own home. This section of town was nicknamed Lake Town by the locals. The streets were narrower and in sharp contrast to the more affluent sections of the vast and sprawling township that still did not have its own supermarket or movie theater. There had been a drive-in, but that was closed now and converted into a driving range. Ron's thoughts roamed back to when he first started teaching at the school a decade earlier. That had been chancy. He had uprooted Celeste and Angel on a one-year contract that might or might not be renewed. For two of the first 3 years, it wasn't renewed until June, and Ron remembered the anxiety. He also thought about the male students who were conspicuously absent at the beginning of deer hunting season and had chafed under the familial pressure that was placed on them to get their first deer. It had all been very new and strange to Ron. Frankie pulled into the driveway of Tiffany's home. Ron got out of the car and saw the discarded water heater and bathroom tub that seemed to almost be placed like lawn ornaments alongside the house. Tiffany followed and then moved ahead and wordlessly pulled open the screen door to the back of the house, hollering out, "Ma, the school's here." Then she disappeared, left Ron standing in the kitchen. Ron tried to stand still and not touch anything. It was not a well-kept home and had a shabbiness that spoke not only of poverty, but of neglect. Bleach blonde woman with roots showing through an old dye job eyed him suspiciously. "Mrs. LaFar, I wanted to make sure Tiffany got home safely. She's suspended for 3 days, and you or another guardian will have to accompany her to a reinstatement conference." "What am I supposed to do with her for 3 days? Said Tiffany's mom. "The only peace I get is when she's up at that school." "She can't be fighting at the school, Mrs. LaFar." "Was the other kid suspended too?" "I can't discuss that another student with you, but I can assure you that I will deal with the situation fairly." "You're Tuck?" "Yes, ma'am. I'm the vice principal." "Well, if it was up to me, I'd pull her right the hell out of that miserable school and put her to work. Those kids don't learn anything anyhow." "I'm sorry that you feel that way. And we can discuss her schedule at the reinstatement conference. I just wanted to be sure she got home safely."
"Well, she's here."
"I'll see you in a few days, Mrs. LaFar." Ron turned to leave. Moving alongside the house, he heard the woman scream,
You ain't gonna sit on your ass for 3 days. I didn't raise you to be a bitch and a slut and a thief.
Ron couldn't get back into the car fast enough.
Get me out of here, Frankie.
The detective shook his head knowingly and backed out into the street, pulled away with practiced swiftness. Ron lit a cigarette, rolled down the window. How was anything that he did ever going to impact on a kid like this? It was a hard truth. It was breaking down his door of optimism. It wasn't.
This is a good community, said Frankie. You're always going to have to deal with the losers.
Ron nodded, tossed the cigarette out the window.